Let's read together then from the book of Isaiah. We begin in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, says God, even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State your case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand the Lord's and will take the name Israel. Christianity began in Galilee, wrote a former chaplain to the US Senate. Christianity began in Galilee as a fellowship of men and women centered on Jesus Christ. It went to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Rome and became an institution. It went to Europe and became a culture. It went to America and became an enterprise. We need to get back to our roots. Richard Foster, in the Celebration of Discipline, writes, in our day, heaven and earth are on tiptoe, waiting for the emerging of a spirit-led, spirit-empowered people. All of creation watches expectantly for the springing up of a disciplined, freely gathered, martyr people who know this life, in this life, the life and power of the kingdom of God. It has happened before. It can happen again. Isaiah knows about that. Isaiah knows about the refreshing times of God, the times when God's Spirit is poured out. Let's go to Hosea chapter 5, where from verse 15, reading then to chapter 6, verse 4, God says this, he's tired of his people. So he says, I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. And they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. So God is waiting for a time when God's people will search for him, will look for him. And they'll say, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He'll come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. And that's what God's waiting for. But he says, well, what can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the early, like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. God's people seem eternally locked in a cycle of apathy and revival. They grow cold, things go wrong, they seek God, the Spirit comes, things go better. And they just go from apathy to revival. Why do we do that? Why does that happen throughout the decades of the church? Why has it happened in our country in Wales? Why has it happened around the world? G.K. Chesterton said at least five times, the faith has to all appearances gone to the dogs. In each of the five cases, it was the dog that died. And God renewed the Christian faith. So, in this passage, Isaiah then gives us six steps to revival. At least I can count six steps. I'll see if you can count them with me. First step to revival according to Isaiah then is to be honest. Be honest. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. And then he says, review the past for me. Let's argue the matter together. God goes back into the past and says, will you think about the past? You've made me tired of your sin in the past. You and your forefathers, you just worn me down with your lack of faith, with your lack of progress, with your lack of seeking me. What is the matter with you? Just look back, says God, in the past, and be honest, will you? Be honest at how little you have sought me. But there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. I am he who blots out your transgressions. So God says, look, you know you've tired me out. You know I'm tired of this cycle of apathy and revival. But listen, okay, I forgive you. What I want is I want you back with me. I want to bless you. I want to pour my blessing out on you, but you've got to come back to me. And to come back to me, you've got to be honest to admit you've drifted away from me. Until you do that, I can't help you. Till you're honest about your past, till you honestly admit the things that have gone down in your life, till you admit that, I can't help you. Till you're honest with me, my blessing is withheld from you. We are vessels for God to use, but he doesn't use a dirty vessel. God wants us to be clean and be honest. So that's the first step to revival. Be honest. Then into the next chapter. The next step to revival is to listen. Verse 1 of chapter 44. Listen, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. Listen. You know, dogs have fantastic hearing, don't they? Dogs' hearing is so much better than ours. They hear sounds, frequencies we don't hear. They can hear further than we can hear. They can hear every single word. Why was it then that sometimes my dog didn't hear me when I was giving him instructions? Just, you know, he chose not to hear me. Dogs, you know, dogs are off on a scent, they can hear you perfectly well. They just choose not to listen to you. One word from you and they do exactly as they like. Now, you know, if that's true of dogs, isn't it true of humans? We hear God speak, but when it's convenient. We only hear when it's convenient. My wife says that husbands do the same, by the way. And isn't that God isn't speaking to us? It's that we're just really not listening. We're going down a different track. Our mind is on something else. That's what I tell my wife anyway. Our mind is on something else. We do it with God too. It's that listening to God. And that can be hard, especially when we have preconceived ideas. That the whole progress of our church in the last 10 years has happened because people have listened to God. And sometimes, you know, we've not wanted to listen because we wanted everything to be left alone, you know. But God was calling us to move forward, to grow. We had to listen. And we listened to God, sometimes a little bit reluctantly. But in the end, God got through to us and we heard. So God says, look, first step to revival, be honest. The second step, will you open your ears and listen? I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. And the next thing to do might sound strange. But it's part of revival. Put away fear. Put away fear. Verse 2, this is what the Lord said. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, whom I have chosen. The most common command in the Bible, don't be afraid. Here in the context of revival, be honest, listen, put away fear, don't be afraid. A huge obstacle sometimes to the Holy Spirit doing more in our lives is fear. And we worry, we get scared that the Holy Spirit is going to make us do something uncomfortable or embarrassing. I'm like, okay, there's been a lot of over-enthusiasm and fakery in the Christian world to do with the Holy Spirit. I admit that. But the Holy Spirit, when he moves in power. He does amazing things. Okay, sometimes the Holy Spirit does knock people over. It happens. And sometimes people do get the gift of speaking in tongues from the Holy Spirit. It happens. And sometimes the Holy Spirit heals dramatically and powerfully. It happens. Sometimes people cry when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It happens, okay? It just happens. There's nothing to be feared of in that. It's just what happens sometimes when the Holy Spirit is at work. You can't predict it. You don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to do till it happens. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. Suddenly it's there and suddenly it's gone. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. Don't be afraid. We sometimes feel it because, you know, somebody is doing something under the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to do it as well. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Sometimes I remember one meeting I was in, God was moving powerfully, blessing people. Some people were just broken before the Lord and crying. Other people were sitting there calmly, quietly. The Holy Spirit was doing something else in their life. You can do that. Just chill out when the Holy Spirit is at work, please. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do with whoever he wants to do it. Right? He will do whatever he wants to do with you in his own time, in his own way. Relax. Okay? Holy Spirit is great. Holy Spirit is exciting. Not to be feared. Although I've known many a Christian terrified of some outbreak of the Holy Spirit, what will happen. But you needn't be. You shouldn't be. God says, put away fear. I will work. When I work, I will minister to whom I want to minister to. Move on then. Be honest. Listen. Put away fear. And then Isaiah says the fourth step to Holy Spirit revival is to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. That's the fourth step. To receive the Holy Spirit. To just open your heart and your soul and your mind and your will to the Holy Spirit. He just loves to move in people's hearts. And he'll love moving in yours as you open to him. Jesus talked about this. In John 7, verses 37 to 39, Jesus is at the great feast of the tabernacles. And it's a feast that involved water, by the way. But Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus says, I will pour out my Spirit like streams of living water that will flow out from you. Just be poured, have the Spirit poured upon you. And that is a direct fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Which is from Joel 2, 28, 20. Oops, go back. Can you just pull me back on that one? Okay, and on to the next one, thank you. Sorry, I hit the button twice by mistake. There we go. I also put it on very slow, which was very stupid. Joel 2:28-29. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I love the story. You've often heard me mention Jean Darnell before. And I've never met her, only heard her preach once. But just this woman's ministry has blessed me in what she's done. Just knowing what she's done, knowing the integrity and the honesty with which she ministers, it's just been an encouragement to me. She first met the power of the Holy Spirit in one of these American Holy Roller churches. She went with her parents, and it was one of these extreme churches. And there were people running around. There was somebody running around making a sound like a steam engine. And there was emotionalism just breaking out. It was just chaos. It was just, just wild and disordered and unorderly and frankly not particularly honouring to God. But she was determined. She wanted to find more from God. She just wanted to know more of the Holy Spirit in her life. So the pastor sort of gave an altar call. I had an altar there. Come and pray at the altar. So she went to the altar and she realized there was a woman praying quietly next to her. She said, how in all that din I ever heard it was a miracle. But the woman was praying quietly in a foreign language. Actually, the woman was praying in tongues, she realized afterwards. But she didn't know that at the time. And she just heard this woman praying quietly and freely and this prayer flowing. And she just said, oh God, you know, just let me pray like that. I just want to pray like that, please. Yeah. And with that, the Holy Spirit just fell on her. And she began to pray out loud. She said, I felt the presence of Jesus around me closer and closer, within me, fuller and fuller. My heart was melted by his love. Tears flowed down my cheeks. I wanted to put my hands out as the little lady beside me did. I lifted them and they seemed to be taken by the hands of Jesus. They trembled and my lips trembled as I began to praise him. Words flowed like a river from my heart. Suddenly I realized I was speaking the language I had never learned. I knew then that little lady with the shiny face wasn't speaking Polish after all. Anyway, she's just there praising. An hour later, the music has stopped. Everyone's gone home. It's just the minister left with the keys and her mum and dad who were really quite concerned about her. At this point, Jean opens her eyes and realizes that she's the only one left praying. And that the pastor thinks it's great. Her mum and dad are terrified. And as they take her home, her parents say, well, if she isn't over this by the morning, we'll call the doctor. Anyway, they didn't call the doctor, and Jean was more than fine the next day and ministered in the power of the Spirit for decades afterwards. Roy Hessian is in the classic Christian book, The Calvary Road, wrote this. Jesus will fill our cup with the water of life. As he looks into our cup, and if it is clean, he fills it to overflowing with the water of life. And as Jesus is always passing by, the cup can always be running over. That is what David meant when he wrote, my cup runneth over. This is revival, a constant peace of God ruling in our hearts because we are full to overflowing with blessing ourselves and sharing it with others. People imagine that dying to self makes one miserable, but it's just the opposite. It's a refusal to die to self that makes one miserable. The more we know of death with him, the more we shall know of his life, and so the more of real peace and joy. Overflowing. Receive the Holy Spirit, says Isaiah. Fourth step for revival. Fifth step is to minister to others. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. So the idea of God's people being fruitful. Once they've received the Holy Spirit turns them green, turns them fruitful, bountiful. They just overflow. And the only way to stay full of the Holy Spirit is to minister to others. If you stop ministering to others, you'll stop being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that now. Once you stop giving, you will stop receiving. The only way to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit is just to keep giving out in the power of the Spirit. Martin Luther said, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing of him. Until we give out, we can't receive. So the fifth step to revival is to minister to others. And then, finally, the sixth step is to share your faith. Verse 5, one will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. So share your faith. As you share your faith, the Holy Spirit will fill you again and again. Six steps to revival here in the Old Testament. It's wonderful, isn't it? Be honest. Listen to God. Put away fear. Receive the Holy Spirit. Minister to others. Share your faith. Those six steps produce, bring about the releasing, constant releasing throughout our life of the Holy Spirit. There's no reason why we shouldn't go on being filled with the Holy Spirit day in, day out for the rest of our lives if we follow the six principles that Isaiah has written down. I think that's fantastic. What a preacher this guy was. What a man of God. What an insight. One of the, I've often mentioned it before, a man who impressed me greatly was a Roman Catholic priest, Abbot Gilberto, a charismatic Roman Catholic priest in America, who at the age of 60, after a year of being a priest, wanted to know more of the Holy Spirit, just felt that God was calling him forward into something new. So Padre Gilberto, at 60 years of age, went and knelt down in front of a Roman Catholic lay woman. There's no consecrated Roman Catholic woman, is there? I mean, in front of a lay woman. Now, she wasn't even a nun, okay? She was just an ordinary woman in the local church, but who had been mightily used by the Spirit of God. And he asked this Roman Catholic lady to lay her hands on him and pray for him to receive whatever God wanted to give him. Boy, did God bless him. His life and ministry changed. He did more. He was in his 70s when I met him. He'd done more in those 15 years than in all the years before. God just blessed that man's ministry. Lovely, lovely, lovely man of God. I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven one day. We're going to have a long, long talk because I really love the guy. You know, just the humility of the guy, just to receive from the Holy Spirit, it just touches my heart. Finally, I end with a prayer by Amy Carmichael. Amy was a missionary in India for many years. And she wrote this prayer of abandonment to God. Let me read it to you. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you do, I will thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me as in all your creatures. And I'll ask nothing else, my Lord. Into your hands I commend my spirit. I give it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord. And so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands with a trust beyond all measure, because you are my Father. From prayer that asks that I should be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from sin and self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims, thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me a love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, O flame of God. The last line's not great, is it? But the rest of the poem is just beautiful. That was Amy's prayer. To receive the Holy Spirit of God. To abandon herself to God. So, I'm just going to ask the band to join me briefly on the platform. Let's just bow our heads for a second and pray. So, Father, we honestly admit our faults to you. We're here to listen to you tonight. We put away fear from us, Lord. The Holy Spirit, do whatever you want among us. You have free reign among us tonight, Holy Spirit of God. We receive you, Holy Spirit of God, into our hearts and spirits this evening. We pray that we might minister to others and share our faith in the power of this Spirit. And we commit ourselves to you.